Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold. And if I'm a follower of Jesus, will I enjoy certain positive mental health benefits? Well, that's kind of a big question, but I'm going to talk to Dr. Tim Walsh about that today. Tim is the CEO of North Star Regional Retreat Center, and I'm always glad to have my friend Tim Walsh when he's available. And here he is sitting across from me. Tim, hey.
So good to see you.
It's great to see you. It's been a while. But this is a increasingly big topic. I think today we are living in a time when there is more stress and anxiety, and we're having difficulty coping with it. There's increased isolation, and there's some people feeling a lack of purpose and identity. What am I doing? And so we look at the Christian worldview, and we're going to talk about mental health and how they work together.
So, yes.
I think when you we were talking in the green room, you said, I want to start with kind of a disclaimer, so maybe we start there.
I do. At any given time, about 25% of us are experiencing mental health issues, and Christians are no exception. And we just want to let people know that we're going to talk about the mental health benefits of a Christian worldview or a biblical worldview, but that in no way is to suggest that we don't struggle, that we don't go through the challenges. In fact, as you go through the Bible, it's very honest about that, isn't it? You got one person after another, and they have their various struggles. But it is to suggest that if we have a Christian or biblical worldview, that that's part of what pulls us out of those mental health issues. That's what helps to be healing is a part of our faith.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Dr. Tim Walsh is with me. And Tim, I always love when we can start with good news. So I think today we're going to start by maybe talking about some of the mental health benefits of people of faith or people that are in a relationship with the Lord, seeking Him, knowing Him. So maybe let's just talk about things like an increased overall psychological well-being. I think we're already off to a good start.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'd even call that joy, right? Overall psychological well-being, I'd call that joy. So, Bill, I have been studying this a long time, and I have pages and pages and pages of references and research that backs this up. But yes, increased overall psychological well-being. So how does that translate? That translates into lower levels of anxiety. It's not that we don't experience anxiety, that we tend to have less anxiety in our lives over time. It decreased depression. It's not that we don't, again, experience depression, is that that is what helps pull us through those times, that we increase our ability to cope, that it increases our coping skills, our ability to deal with stress and everyday challenges. And then we get a sense of purpose and identity from our faith. And we'll get into that in much more depth,
good.
I'm sure. But we actually live longer as a result of our spiritual way of life, and we'll make that connection. We'll make that connection to what is it that we do. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and so what do we have? We have a way of truth that is life. We have a way of truth that is life. And so what goes along with that, Christians, people who operate from a Christian worldview tend to have decreased divorce rates. Again, there is divorce amongst Christian people, but it's at a lesser rate. Increased marital sexual satisfaction. When I've done PowerPoints on this, presentations on this, I have a whole list of all these benefits. And oftentimes with my clients, where does their attention go? Right to this one.
Mm-hmm. But it gets their attention, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It does. But you think, you know, because of our faith, we are able to have this level of intimacy with other people, this openness, this vulnerability. And of course, that's going to lead to better closeness in our marital relationships. Christians tend to have decreased substance use disorders. and we have less anxiety about death. We oftentimes can address death with peace, with comfort that goes along with that. And an interesting one that you and I were talking about is decreased ontological guilt and all that means.
Yeah, you used that big word on me.
Sorry.
Tim, and I thought, why are you doing that to me?
Yeah, well, because it's such a fun concept. It's the thing that here we are in this world, and we got this sense that we should be doing something with our lives, that we can't just waste space, we can't just be taking up space, we can't just be wasting air, that we're here to do something. And if we don't live up to that expectation, we have that sense of guilt that goes with that, guilt that goes along with just being. So that's all that means. That's all that means, Bill. So it's a long list and then some of the positive psychological or mental health benefits of being spiritual, of having faith, and what psychologists call religiosity. But all that means is all of the rituals, the traditions, the beliefs that go along with the Christian life.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Tim Walsh is my guest. We're talking today about mental health benefits of being a person of faith. And Tim, as you went through this list, you know, the word that popped into my head, which almost summarizes all these descriptors, is the word resilient.
Yes.
I don't know if that's on your radar.
It is.
Christians seem to be more resilient.
That's right. And I think when we talk about having a worldview or this lens of how we look at the world, it is because we have the beliefs that we do that we're able to have grit, resilience, endurance, the ability to go through suffering, and even to see suffering as meaningful. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, that in fact, that's one of the key things about how you look at life is how do you look at pain and suffering. And what we tend to believe is, first of all, is that God works all things to the good, right? For those who love God are called according to his purpose. That's right. Right on. And so we even feel that pain and suffering has a purpose to it, or at least God works it towards a good purpose. And so we're able to be resilient that way. We also believe that God is working, that we're working through things in this lifetime. Why? For the next lifetime. We're working through things in this lifetime. Why? For the next lifetime. And so we're able to endure and have grit because of that. And also what it says is when we experience that pain and suffering as a result of righteousness' sake, that we participate in the suffering of Christ. I mean, I just gave you three examples of how it is that we can utilize biblical scriptural truth. Why? To become more resilient, to be able to endure, to be able to push through, the ability to have that grittiness that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I know you're the CEO of North Star Regional, but you're also your doctorate is in psychology, is it not?
No, it's an administration from School of Business. Actually, I'm a master's degree in counseling psychology, but I've been a licensed psychologist since 1998.
That's the part, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I have to update your resume, which I always feel a lot of pressure to do. Mm-hmm. But talk about how our brains will fill in unknown information. Because, you know, when you were just talking about anxiety and stress, sometimes you're in a situation where I understand all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if I'm confronted with, you know, which I consider maybe bad news, why does my brain want to say this could be bad news when God says, no, this is not bad news. I'm bringing about something through this situation that's going to be spectacular.
Yeah.
But our brain wants to sometimes default to bad news. Why does our brain want to do that?
Well, first of all, let's just agree that our brain does tend towards the negative. Our brain does tend towards remembering the negative, not the positive. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating.
All by itself. And so what some people might say is that the reason we were designed that way is that we need to learn from that, and that all wisdom itself is a result of going through pain and suffering, but it's a remembering of that pain and suffering, and that memory that comes from pain ends up being the most salient thing, the most powerful thing in our memory. And so then what are we trying to do? One of the most powerful reinforcers is to avoid pain. Avoidance of pain is actually the most powerful reinforcer. If we can do anything to avoid pain, that is even more powerful than positive reinforcement or rewards and that kind of thing. And so we're also built that way. We're built to predict the future and then trying to avoid futures in which we're going to be caused pain.
Hmm. I'm going to have to think about that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big statement you just made. All right, Dr. Tim Walsh is with me. We're talking about mental health benefits of faith and people of faith. And as I'm just looking over the list here, Tim, I'm going to quickly go through some of these again. Overall, psychological well-being, we think that's joy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a sense of purpose and identity, increased
yes.
longevity. Thinking
yes.
of my friend in Florida who's 91 with lots of longevity and purpose and identity. I think of decreased stress and anxiety and the increased ability to cope. Decreased divorce rates, increased marital sexual satisfaction,
mm-hmm.
Decreased substance abuse disorders, and decreased anxiety about death. So, Tim, what does worldview have to do with these life outcomes?
Well, let me give you a definition of worldview. A worldview is the whole lens or the framework, the big picture of how we understand the world. If you were to break it down, it's what we believe is real. And then on the basis of what we believe is real, how we arrive at truth based on what we think is true or what we believe in or what we assume to be true, then that establishes our values. What is good? What is bad? What is right? What is wrong? What is pleasurable? What is not? And then that's how we base our perspective on what it is that we actually do and how we live. So what did I just describe? Pretty much all of life.
Yeah.
So, and you know,
and
what
I just got the 1 hour show, Tim, so we're in trouble.
Yeah,
if you're going to cover all this.
Yeah. So it's how we live day to day life. It's really the sum of all of those beliefs, those values, those attitudes. And what I found fascinating as I was researching this, Bill, is we pick up on this largely on an unconscious basis. It's not like people are always directly informing our worldview. It's something that's almost caught in our upbringing and also through our education and the systems that we operate within. And it doesn't necessarily have to be conscious in order for it to be driving our behavior. In fact, one person I was listening to, a psychologist who was speaking about that, he felt like it was the most powerful underlying psychology that drives our behavior is our worldview.
Mm, not surprised at all. So let's talk a little bit about some of these questions that are arising, and I know because of the framework of some of the notes you've given me, I'm not making these questions up. So let me ask some of the worldview crucial questions. One of them might be, do I know that there is a God?
Yes.
Do I know that there is a God, and
right.
how would that affect anyone's mental health?
Yeah, that's good. So And what are your images of God? How do you actually think about God? So if you think about two different ways of thinking about God, if you are an atheist, you're going to think along this line that the world is random, it's meaningless, it's absurd,
yeah.
it's kind of a joke. We're the result of these random processes, in biology. There's really no difference between us and any other living organism, right? And the universe is not really hospitable for life. Even that is a result of mindless. It's not conscious. It's not intelligent. Well, that's actually, if you think about it, also the image of God that causes brain damage. It's when you think about the research on what causes the worst mental health effects, it is to believe that God is hostile, hateful, distant, rejecting, shaming, punishing. So that is our image of God or, you know, not God
mm-hmm.
has a direct impact. They've actually done studies where they can show that if you're part of a community, a faith community or, you know, atheist community that believes that about the universe, that it actually will shrink your brain over time.
Mm, wow.
And it results in anxiety. It results in depression. Now let's flip it. Let's flip it. Now you believe in a God who looks like Jesus. And in fact, that's what Jesus said, didn't he? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father, that he's the very image of God himself, right? Because he is God. Amen?
Amen.
And so then you start describing what is Jesus like. You know, let's just trade on this. He's compassionate.
He's merciful.
That's right. He's loving.
He's kind.
He's graceful.
He's good.
He's merciful, right?
Yeah.
So these are the images that we, in fact, notice what even just started happening to your own emotions as you're starting to talk about
that. I started getting happy.
Yeah, me too.
I know.
I started lighting up. I started filling, you know, getting filled by talking about that just by imagining what is God like. Now, look at that. What do we have the deep psychological need for, the deep mental health need for? We have a deep need for awe, for inspiration, for wonder.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you look at the mental health research, if we have a source of awe, inspiration, and wonder, that actually will create these long-term positive steady states of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what fuels solid, good mental health.
Yeah, it's like watching a three-year-old at the zoo, and the three-year-old is just spellbound by what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And you take a 20-year-old to the zoo, it's like, yeah, a giraffe. How much longer do we have to be here?
right, yeah.
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 But as Christians, we can't lose our sense of wonder over our creator and and the lover of our soul.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
All right, Tim, let me take break number uno. That's number one. And we're going to be right back with Dr. Tim Walsh. We're discussing the Christian worldview and how it affects our mental health. If you have a question or comment for Tim, text line is open just for you, 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, following Jesus is not just something we do. It's who we are. We follow him because he's the savior of the world. He lived, he died, he rose again, and blew the doors off of the devil's claim on us. That's why we can live free, and we can share with others the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, it's our spring fundraising season, and we would love for you to join the Faith Radio family. Tell others about how God has changed your life. Be an ambassador for Christ as you share the good news. And then, if you feel so led, would you join the giving family now? You can do so by clicking on the link in the show notes or simply give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome to the show. Dr. Tim Walsh is my guest. We're talking about Christian worldview and mental health, kind of a mental health day, because in hour two, Dr. Andy Scudding is going to join the program. We're going to talk about how to deal with negative and intrusive thoughts. So we're kind of in this mode today, which I find very, very interesting. And we are always confronted with the mental health benefits of being faith followers, and there's a lot of good that comes along with this. But when I talk to someone, Tim, who is against Christianity or angry about God, I often ask them to tell me, what information did you learn about God, and why did you choose to reject him? And by the time they get done articulating why they rejected God, I think to myself, I would have rejected that God too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because it's not the God of Scripture
that
you've described.
No, exactly. When you talk about, I mean, it's true that God is the judge and he's sovereign and he holds us accountable and there's going to be a day of judgment. All that's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is God coercive? I'd say no. Is God shaming? I would say no. Does God hate me? No, I think he loves me dearly. You know, and so when they start describing, is he the way he acts towards us, is he abusive? Oh my goodness, no. He's a good God. He's a benevolent God, right? And so when they start describing that God, what I'd say is actually that's more of a good picture of who Satan is.
Yeah.
And so they have the exact wrong image of God. And so then we can start, I've heard the expression, you start presenting to people a Jesus-looking God, meaning you start describing, as you and I just did, you know, what was Jesus like? What is Jesus like, right? And you start describing what he's like, and then you say, okay, you know who we just described? That's God. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm. Say more about that, because I'm still kind of high from that little banter we did.
yeah. Yeah, so when we talk about images of God, so first of all, and this gets into also who are we? And we are designed to be image bearers.
Mm-hmm.
We are designed to be God mirrors, to be mirrors of God. And when we think about what it is, the purposes of our lives, we are supposed to then reflect or image back to God who he is. And what does God take delight in? What honors him? It's when we reflect back to him an accurate image of who he is. He wants an image of himself to come back to himself, if that makes sense. And when we do that and we act within the purpose of being image bearers, of being made in the image of God and being God mirrors, that fills the deepest needs of our souls in terms of why we're here on the planet. And now we start reflecting back to God a Christ-likeness, an image of ourselves of being compassionate, caring, kind, generous, forgiving, graceful, merciful, and so on, which is who Jesus is. And we start reflecting that back. Now we are operating within exactly who we were purposed or designed to be.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Tim Walsh is my guest. He is the CEO of North Star Regional, which is a treatment center. As we're moving on to the next worldview crucial question, Tim, just tell us a little bit about North Star Regional.
Yeah, so North Star Regional, we have 7 different operations along the western arc of the Twin Cities. We provide outpatient mental health services, outpatient substance use disorder treatment. We also provide residential treatment, intensive outpatient with lodging, which means that people live with us, transition aftercare services, sober housing. We have the whole continuum of services that we provide across the whole metro area. In any given day, we're serving over 300 people.
Nice. Beautiful. Here's a question that came in. How do you explain the balance of a loving God, but also a holy, righteous God who cannot tolerate sin?
Yeah. I bridge that in one way. And the way I bridge that is, again, this is a part of a Christian worldview. I believe in mercy. And so, and that God made the way through Jesus Christ. How? To make up the difference between my lack of holiness, my fallenness, my sinfulness, my depravity even. I would even go that far. So that is where I am at. And so you have to have the solution that bridges from where I'm at even now to God's holiness and his judgment. And what is that bridge? That bridge is mercy. And mercy is, you know, and do I live up? Do I measure up to the glory of God? I do not. Do I know what's right and I don't do it? Yes, I do. Do I always act in faith? No, I don't. Am I always acting within God's purpose and following his way? No. Do I miss the mark? Right? So I have a radical belief in God's mercy. In other words, God has provided the way. God has provided the solution. God has bridged the difference between his holiness and my current state. And then he's done that through the person of Christ. And now the person of Christ is also what is at work within me to now bring me to that point where I am acceptable before the Father. Does this make sense?
It makes a ton of sense.
Okay.
And I think it was yesterday on the show, I was talking about how I appreciate when we use the word sin when we're talking about sin,
mm-hmm.
versus like, oh, I messed up, or right. I didn't have a good day. It's like, whoa, good day. How about sin?
How about sin?
Yeah,
that's
how
right.
about you offended the holy God and you did sin. And yeah, so repent of your sin.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm utterly dependent on God's mercy.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
that to me is what makes up the difference between and by the there is no inconsistency between because of mercy, because of grace. There is no inconsistency between God's love for me and his judgment and holiness.
Mm-hmm. But because of the cross and the resurrection, I have positionally been forgiven if I've placed my faith in Christ and have repented.
That's right.
So that's never going to change. So
right.
God looks at me through the lens of the righteousness of Jesus. So when he looks at me, he looks at me through that lens.
Yeah.
That's the view he has,
that's
which
right.
is amazing.
That's right.
So positionally, I'm forgiven. My sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. He'll be merciful towards my wrongdoings, and my sins he will never remember. Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then relationally, when I fall short, when I sin, I get to my repentance on my knees as fast as I can.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that would be probably two ways to look at that. I hope that answered the question. It was a great question from a listener.
That is a great question.
Yeah. Let's go back to another worldview. We'll call this another worldview crucial question. Is the world created, designed, intelligent, purposeful? And how does that affect my mental health?
Yeah. So think is when you go through worldview, this is one of the ways you get to what your worldview is. Let's say I believe that it's all a result of the Big Bang and all of the processes that somehow were potentiated within the Big Bang, and that everything has been a result of that. And that means really I'm just made of stardust at this point. Then the way you get to worldview is you say, and then what does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean about you? Well, it just means you are as a result of that random, purposeless process. Oh, is it mindless too? Right. Yes. Then it's a mindless process. Great. How about your own mind? Is your mind a result of mindless purposes? I guess that would be true. I guess my mind is a part of mindless purposes. Oh, really? Then how can you trust it? How can you know anything? This is, you see the and then.
Oh, boy.
And then. How can you trust your own mind? How can you know truth? How can you even say the statement of something you cannot demonstrate through science, which is the beginning of the universe? You can't do that. In other words, you have a faith in the beginning of the universe that you cannot demonstrate through science, nor can you prove through science.
I feel like I'm in a courtroom with a lawyer right now. No further questions, Your Honor. Well done. I mean, if you go down that road, though, Tim, the place you end up has to be hopelessness.
That's right.
Because where else can you go from there?
That is exactly right. Because if that's really what I am, and you're just stardust and I'm just stardust,
yeah,
right? And then we're just made of dust and that's what we're going to return to. Is there any intrinsic value or dignity or worth to any human being then? Answer? No.
Yeah.
No. No. Take the same thought. I am the result of a creator. I am a creation. I am designed. That was an intelligent process, and God is good. Remember we said God is good. And if God is good, then he wants what's good for all of creation, not just me. He wants what's good for all of creation, that what is good is actually discoverable. You can actually discover what is good and what is not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you can do that, you can know what truth is. And then, I can actually discover that I am a part of creation, that I have design and purpose, that I am intelligent, that I can actually trust my mind if it's informed by truth. I can trust my mind if I'm informed by truth, right? And that things... Here's what the deep need is, Bill, and that is we have a deep need for meaning, for order, and stability. That's what all the research says. That's what wisdom says. We have that need. And if you believe that the universe is ordered, that it's discoverable, that it's meaningful, this is actually the beginning of true science. And that's why the early scientists, I want to say all, but at least the leading thinkers, were all Christians.
Yeah. Build because, that sandwich one more that. Time, Tim.
What's that?
Build that sandwich one more time. What were the three things you said? Order.
Order, stability, and meaning.
Yeah.
We have a deep need for that. And by the way, this was a C.S. Lewis argument, is if we have these deep desires of the human heart, isn't that actually an echo?
Yeah.
Isn't that actually an echo of our design? Weren't we then meant for that purpose to have order, reasonability, stability? Why are we looking for that if that's not what is in the universe?
Yeah.
And it is.
A lot of smart people quote C.S. Lewis. Why? Get this C.S. Lewis guy on the show.
I'll do what I can.
Yeah, see, I know he'd be interested.
That would cut into Tim Walsh's time, though.
Well, not today. But let's get him booked on another show, because a lot of smart people talk about him, so that'd be good. A friend of mine sent me a photo, which was funny. It was a picture of a dryer, and the caption was, "When is this going to happen?" And the dryer door was open, and all the clothes were perfectly folded. And so, yeah, there's no way there's just a random explosion, and then order came out of nothing.
No, that's right.
That doesn't make any sense. And I love reading scientific facts, and I brought this up on the show a week or so ago because I found this fascinating. Do you know how many bacteria you have in your stomach? And the answer is 100 trillion bacteria. Do you believe you have 100 trillion of anything in your body?
I do now.
I know, but you start to think, this is all random? There's no designer? There's no creator?
Right,
what?
Right.
Come
right.
on.
Yeah. And then and that microbiome that of those that lives in almost perfect, perfect harmony with us, that's what helps us to adapt. That's what helps us to heal. That's what helps us to respond to the environment. It's just such a brilliant design that your body is actually a community, you know? And that's another form of intelligence too, the ability to perceive the world through actually that community that lives within your body. I think it's just brilliant.
You know, I don't get sick very often, and I had about a 2-week cold in the last 6 weeks, and there was this thought I had, which was, it's kind of nice. My immune system's getting a chance to flex its muscle a little bit and fight it off.
Yeah.
And God has an incredible way of helping us cope with things.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a little break, come back with lots more with Dr. Tim Walsh. He's the CEO of North Star Regional, which is a recovery center. He also is a brilliant thinker, and we're going to continue our discussion on worldview and mental health. So if you have a question or comment for Tim, 877-933-2484.
It's the afternoon show. Bill Arno, Prime Time, Drive Time, let's get it started. Jump in your car, yeah. What's for dinner? Hey. It's the afternoon show with Bill Arno.
How is your emotional and psychological well-being today? I hope you are enjoying many mental health benefits of being a faith and Christ follower, because that's our topic of discussion today. If you just climbed in the car, hope you had a good day at work or whatever you were doing. Dr. Tim Walsh is my guest. He's the CEO of North Star Regional, which is a recovery center. And we are jumping into this really great discussion on some of the worldview crucial questions. It seems like, Tim, what you believe is pretty important, because your beliefs are going to create your values, and your values are going to create your worldview.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Yeah, you begin with, you know, the worldview is, what do you think is real? And that, again, that might even be on the unconscious level. And then that leads to your understanding of what is truth, what is truth, or what do I believe? And then that leads to your values of what you assign, what is good, what is bad, or what is right, and what is wrong. And so when we get into this, you know, what is good and right, and does what I do matter? Again, let's take this whole string of thought. If there's no God, and if it's we're not dealing with creation here, that it's just the result of this Big Bang explosion, and if truth is relative, then what is good and right?
Yeah.
What is good and right? And so where we land then within that worldview is moral relativism. And so if you land on moral relativism, what's right for you is right for you. What's good for you is good for you. It's not necessarily right for me, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's where that lands.
Isn't that anarchy?
It is, and it's either amorality, which means there are no values, there is no right and wrong, or immorality, if you're coming from our perspective. Mm-hmm. That's where it lands. And so it's a belief then that what I do doesn't matter.
Ooh, that's just so not true. What you do does matter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I was just meditating recently on when you get to the end of the book of Revelation, and I was meditating on the book of life, and each one of us has a book of life, right? And that book of life is, and what's being recorded in that, what we did and didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
What we did and didn't do. And I would be very specific that what you do in, by, and for Christ, that's what ends up in the book of life.
Amen.
Yeah. And so what that book of Revelation, which is the end of the story, and the end of the story makes sense of everything else as far as I'm concerned, what that tells us is that we are accountable. There is a day of judgment, and that day of judgment will be based upon how we affected ourselves, other people, the world, our relationship to God. And here's what I want to get to with that in terms of mental health. The first viewpoint, you are utterly insignificant if you believe in that first worldview. In the second worldview, which is a Christian or a biblical worldview, you are ultimately significant. You are utterly significant in that second. In fact, even if we started connecting to Bill, it's not just us, of course. We are part of the body of Christ. We are part of the church. We are part of God's mission here on earth. And even our little part joins together with everyone else, almost like the 100 trillion, you know, cells in the body, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what we are.
Yeah.
That's kind of like we are. And so we have this profound effect on the world. This, you know, these 2 billion believers in the world are having a profound effect across the whole planet. Have through, you know, Jesus said, you will do even greater things than me. And you say, what? What? As the body of Christ, he is actually affecting greater things than what he affected here on earth in his life.
Look at the size of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he equipped the 12, and then they went out and through their ministry have created a body of believers in the billions.
That's right,
yeah.
In the billions. That's
and
right.
He considers that greater, right?
Yeah. That's what he would consider
that's
greater.
That's how I've understood that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Tim Walsh, why is there evil and suffering in the world, and how does that affect mental health?
Well, here's the thing. So when you look at the Christian view, we have an understanding of the problem, and the problem is this: that humanity fell. Humanity went sinned, and as a result of that, all of creation was corrupted. And what started to then dominate within this world is other spirits, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the world in this complex way, that yes, indeed, we are good as creation, and we are made in the image of God, that's true. It's also true that we have another nature, right? And so what I'm getting to there is it starts to answer why is there evil and suffering in this world? And one of the primary answers to that is because you are. You have a nature that is not good. That's one answer. Another answer is we have a more comprehensive answer. Then there's other spirits in this world that are not good. They're evil, right? And then we have another answer, which is, and human beings create with these, I would say with these spirits, we create systems that are not good. They're evil.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what Jesus would call the cosmos too, right? And so that's one answer. One answer is that, but here's the other answer. I love this answer. This is, have you heard of William Craig? He's an apologist.
Yeah, I tried to get him on the show and he said, no.
Oh, man.
I didn't take it personally. He's a busy guy.
Yes, he is, yeah. He is almost as much as C.S. Lewis on that.
Yeah. I dropped your name, too, when I called him, and
he still didn't help.
No. So, yeah, wow, I'm dragging you down with me, Tim.
So what I love his answer, and then other people answer it in a similar way, is when you start with creation, God created creation out of love.
Mm-hmm.
What comes with love is the free will to choose him. What comes with the free will to choose him is the possibility of choosing sin. And when you look at this universe, the way this universe is, not any other possible universe, this possibly the greatest possible good, what is now happening is the greatest possible good given that we are loved and that we have free will and that we can choose evil rather than good. This is actually the greatest possible good that God can achieve. And you just gave an example that can achieve within this real universe.
Mm-hmm. A comment came in, Tim Walsh, but what we do isn't a reflection of our salvation, right? That's all by Christ alone. What we do is an example of being saved.
Yeah, they're making a distinction there between we're saved by grace and not by works. That's exactly correct. Mm-hmm. We are saved by the act of God. It's all God. It's God's doing. It's God's work, not our work, right?
We're born from above.
That's right.
Yep.
But then the book of James challenges us and says, yes, but you say you have faith, but you have no works. And so it challenges us with, did you actually provide some proof, some evidence of the fact that you have faith? Because you're saved through faith, right? You're saved through faith.
Yeah.
And then what does Jesus say when he gets to Matthew 23? He starts separating the sheep from the goats. And what is the difference? between what they did and didn't do. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the book of Revelation, the end of the story, and we get to the judgment, and we get to the judgment of who we are. And either our name is not written in the book of life, and our book of life gets thrown into the abyss, right? Or what we've written in the book of life is what we've done in, by, and for Christ. And so what is in that book? What we did and we didn't do. So I'm going to say both and.
Okay.
We're saved by grace through faith, and then it evidences itself in sanctification through what we actually do.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a relationship.
It is.
Okay, good. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Lots more with Dr. Tim Walsh. We're discussing today worldview. We're asking some worldview crucial questions. If you got a comment for Tim, 877-933-2484.
Anne texted me, and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old, and her husband, Bob, is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day, and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Anne has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Anne will hear your story and be encouraged as well.
I'm back with Dr. Tim Walsh. We're talking today about worldview and mental health. Today is all mental health day. So if you are interested in mental health issues, you're going to want to hear this from the beginning. Go to myfaithradio.com. Check out the podcast. I hope you do. And in hour two, Dr. Andy Scudding is going to join me about negative and intrusive thoughts and how to deal with them. So, Tim, let's talk about just the importance of relationship, because right before we went to break, we did talk about relationship, because that's what we have in Jesus is a loving, intimate relationship.
Yeah.
So why are relationships important?
Yeah, we could go on and on about this,
yes,
can't we?
Because
it's huge. And so when you have Jesus answering the question, you know, of how do you fulfill the commandments, or what is life all about, you know, what does he say? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he went further and he says, one more. And to love others the way I've loved you. So we could answer many of these questions this way, like, what's the meaning of life? It's to love God, love others, and to love them the way Christ loved us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good answer, I would think.
It's a great answer.
Yeah.
Love is also a complicated word.
Yeah, it
so
is.
It's best we understand that the love that comes from God through Jesus to us is the love that we share.
That's right.
It's not like, well, I don't feel like I love my neighbor.
No.
It's an action.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His life was totally self-sacrificial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he fully gave himself, and he gave his all for us. And I mean, that is the definition of love. In fact, I've even said that to my clients, Bill. I'll say, I don't know that we know how to love ourselves unless we know how God loves us. I think the love of God is how I know love. That's how I came to faith. I experienced the love of a fellowship in a Bible study. And then, but the second thing, and that relates to what we're talking about today, is love the Lord, the God, with all your mind. The Lord knows that my language is to communicate to my mind. He's satisfied. You know, if it says, you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will what? Give you the desires of your heart. And the desire of this heart, you know, is that he satisfies my mind. And the Lord has always satisfied my mind. I don't know about you, Bill, but as soon as I became a Christian and I started reading the scripture and I started understanding it, it felt like my IQ went up 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was this worldview that we're talking about. He started answering through that, through the study of scripture and through praise and worship and actually through fellowship with other Christians. He started answering these critical questions of life. And then that gave me a perspective on life itself. You know, it actually provides a roadmap, a map for how to live when you start answering those crucial questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how you act out of that worldview from that point on. And it makes it results in these positive mental health effects as well. That's just the added bonus.
And Tim, is it safe to say that you are never going to really know who you are until you know who you are in Christ.
That's right. That's right. Our identity is in Christ. You know, we've talked about this, Bill, where in the New Testament, in Christ or in Christ Jesus is used over 250 times. That who we are as a human being, as a Christian, is in Christ. And in fact, that answers the earlier question, is I was in Christ in his life. I was in Christ in his death. I was in Christ in his burial, his resurrection. I will be part of the resurrection, and I will be actually exalted, and so on, along with the whole life of Christ. I participate fully in the life of Christ, so that is my identity. I am in Christ. It's Tim in Christ is my identity.
Mm-hmm. And I can't resist quoting Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yeah, that just pulled together everything we just talked about.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Tim, we just have about 4 minutes left, so maybe we can ask another worldview crucial question, and that would be, what on earth am I here to do? What's my purpose?
Yeah. So now we know we are in Christ, we're in the body of Christ, we're part of the church, we're part of the family of God. That is who we are as a human being, as a Christian. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
And so because of that, the question of what am I here to do is in relationship to everyone else within the body of Christ. And so then what I start to discern through the Holy Spirit is what are my gifts, what are my talents, what are my strengths, and how does God want to use me? And so one answer to that question is that we have been given, according to the Bible, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And according to the Sermon on the Mount, we are to be peacemakers. Peacemakers of what? It's peace with God. It's peace within ourselves. It's peace with other people. It's peace with creation. It's to be that minister of reconciliation. And flip that over. Now you have a person who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe that they're a part of creation, doesn't believe that there's design, doesn't believe that there's purpose, doesn't believe that they have dignity, doesn't believe that they have worth. What do they end up on? Aimlessness and purposelessness. So what I'm saying is that the gospel speaks directly to our sense of identity and gives us a sense of purpose, and that sense of purpose and calling is again, one of the deepest desires of one's heart.
Mm-hmm. Remember that old expression, garbage in, garbage out?
Yes.
You know, there's that the idea that Philippians 4:8 talks about, you know, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy,
think about these things.
These things. So, yeah. If you are wandering into territory where you are starting to fill your mental health with feelings of despair or anxiety, maybe we've drifted off that command that Paul gives us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a lot of things we can do every day electronically that will pollute our minds.
That's right.
Scare us away from the truth and following after Christ every day.
That's right. That's right. And in fact, it goes on the offensive. Every idea or concept that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, we're supposed to tear it down. Every thought we're supposed to gain captive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible is not anti-intellectual. It's intellectual. It's rational. We have a reasonable faith, and that reasonable faith can inform us about where we even focus our mind. The mind calls that mindset, mind setting. It's what you focus your mind on will then actually have that effect in terms of everything we're talking about. What are we saying? We're saying it's going to fulfill identity, meaning, purpose, significance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joy. It has all of the hope, faith, these deepest desires of the human heart, which God has placed there. It satisfies those, and that is going to have a mental health effect.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Tim, as much as I love talking to you about this topic, some of the mental health benefits of being a Christ follower, what I'm really enjoying is just being with you here in the studio because I can see how this animates you.
Yeah.
I can see a big passion in your eyes and the sparkle
right.
and this sense of excitement. You're like a kid on Christmas morning talking about this.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
It's so real to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think that's another part of this discussion that I've enjoyed so much is what you have talked about is really what I can tell is inside.
Yeah. 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 Early on in my faith, my father-in-law said I was going through a phase. Well, this has been an awfully long phase.
It's a long phase.
It's really long phase that I've been going through.
Yeah. I like it. Well, Tim, thank you again for being on the show. Always great to see you. And I look forward to the next time we get a chance to do this again. Dr. Tim Walsh has been my guest. He is the CEO of North Star Regional as a recovery center. We're going to continue after the break in our mental health day. And if you struggle with negative or intrusive thoughts, we're going to talk to Dr. Andy Scuttinga. He's a psychology professor. That's all coming up next. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.